Hello, everybody. This is Sherry Wells Jensen, and I am taking advantage of the whole online thing to speak to you from my hammock on my back porch. I thought maybe what I would do this semester is try a new thing, which will be me making random recordings, or hopefully not so random, to orient you to the class, to explain different topics as they come up, to oh, I don't know, highlight different things that people email me that I find interesting, kind of to fill that gap that I feel like we have in an online class that is usually filled by the instructor, chatting with the students. Unfortunately, the thing that I have not worked out yet is how I get all of you to respond to these. So I feel a little bit like I'm having a monologue, which is sort of what I'm having. I'm going to resist the temptation to go back and edit these. And to make them all beautiful, and the temptation I think is to make them production items and take out all the speech errors and the hesitations and maybe put in some cool music and make an actual podcast. Because when I think podcast, I think about oh something that's slick and something that's intelligent sounding and something that doesn't have lots of interruptions and hums and ahs and ruff, 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 and unclearnesses all through it. So think of this as the lecture. And so, sit yourself down in your seat and find something to twiddle with and give it, oh, 7/8 of your attention, maybe, or maybe less. I don't know. And to demonstrate how I'm not going to edit these, I'm going to pause this to go answer my phone. Alrighty then. So this is English 6150, which used to be English 615. We have augmented ourselves by a factor of 10. I hope that doesn't mean that the class has to be 10 times as hard. Maybe it will mean 10 times as interesting as it used to be. I don't know. I apologize for the lateness with which this is getting started the first day. I'm just back from a conference in Baltimore, which was extremely interesting, but sort of put me behind in my preparation. I had this fantasy that I was going to be more poised for today. We're going to be fine, though. We'll be all up and running by this evening. You'll have everything online that you need, and we won't get behind again, I'm thinking. So, welcome. And here we go. The other issue that I know is upcoming is that June 13th and 14th, it looks like I'll again be going to a conference, and I'll try to prepare in advance for that so that it won't be a problem for you. There are two books for this class. One is Language Files, which is produced by the Ohio State University. That is the main text for the class and the one that we'll be using most of the time. We'll have some homework assignments from there, though most of your homework assignments will be online. It's a reasonably good book, I think. The readings are sort of short. They're also sort of clear, I think, more or less. So hopefully that will be useful to you. The other book is optional. It's not a required text. It's called designing, describing morphosyntax, designing morphosyntax. That'd be a good book too. And we'll use it as a supplement. I have in mind that you will be able to, as you're working through some of the problems, use this book as a reference work. There'll be homework due almost every day in this class, for which I sort of apologize, but the pace of an online class can be pretty intense, both for the instructor and for the students. We'll just see what we can do and be brave and strong, everybody. We'll make it through. It'll be okay. The midterm will come up. I don't have a date scheduled for it yet because I want to make sure that you're ready for it before it happens. The midterm is a field methods assignment. You will watch a video of two people interacting in a language that you don't know, and given your knowledge of linguistics and the methods that the people are using when they interact with one another, you'll be able to create for me a little grammar and dictionary of the language. You'll be able to make a word list, give perhaps 20 or 25 words in the language, understand, transcribe, and explain simple sentences in the language, and be able to tell me things like how that language makes plurals and how that language, oh golly, I don't know. It'll depend on the language what you'll be able to find out. So that is something that will happen, oh, probably around the first bit of June, I think. The course project for English, I wonder if we're going to say 6150 or 6150, 6150, 6150, I don't know. But anyway, the course project for this class, whatever you want to call it, is a language creation project. You will take your information of linguistics as you acquire it, and you will use it to create your very own language, which has never been spoken or heard from before on the planet. And you can do this any way that you like. Generally, people who are excited about the class tend to create a little bit of something satirical. You can be as playful as you want, as long as you are logical. As long as the structure of your language is sort of like it's supposed to be, you can be as goofy as you want to be. You can create the language of horseflies. You can create the language spoken by short order cooks. You can create the language of some kind of secret society if you want to. You can create the language of some creatures that you know about from some literary work, the language of dementors, the language of, oh golly, I don't know, the cows in Charlotte's Web, anything like that. The language of spiders, the language of dogs, the language of 3-month-old children, anything that you can think of. You're limited only by your imagination and by your willingness to stick to the rules that you create. By the end of the class, you will translate a short passage into your language. The assignments that will culminate in the language creation projects are located on the Friday Night Linguistics page. Oh, and we're being joined now by my 6-year-old. Gogo, do you want to say hi to my class? She is vigorously shaking her head at you. So picture a cute little 6-year-old girl vigorously. Can you do that again? Vigorously. That means really, really a lot with energy. Vigorously shaking her head. Oh, golly, and I've traumatized her such that she won't even shake her head. But she's here sitting in the hammock with me now, very quietly, being very good, I might add. So let's see, where was I? By the end of the class, you will translate a tiny little story into your language and be able to explain how your language does and does not follow Earth norms. I decided to make a participation grade for this class. I went around and around and back and forth and through, trying to figure out what I wanted to do about participation grades. I'm not sure of what method yet works best for me in creating a sense of community online, but I'm guessing that forcing people to respond to discussion questions when they may or may not have anything to say works for some people, but it doesn't work for me. So what I'm going to do is manufacture a participation grade for you out of two factors. One is, do you turn your work in on time, which counts as participation and makes my life easier and your lives easier. And the other is just sort of a count of when I ask you to do something, are you able to do it? And I don't know how this is going to manifest. I'm thinking of things like, who knows a story about the last time Cinderella, Guo says. Who knows a story about Cinderella? I'm unlikely to ask that, but if I do, and you're one of the people that responds, then I'll put a point on your participation grade. The purpose of it is just to keep you active and interested and not to frighten you. So unless you don't turn in your work on time and you disappear and I don't know who you are, unless those things happen, your participation grade will be fine and is and will and is designed to assist you in your final grade average. Let's see. Yes, I'm still making the recording, sweetie. So I'm going to put up a calendar. Your first readings will be posted on Blackboard, and your first assignment is going to be a little bit of a hunt. Your first readings are from the first units of language files, and I will post the specifics. There's no point in me saying things to you that you have to write down when I could just write them and then you could just cut and paste them or whatever. But they do come from file one of the language files book. And one of the things that they say about language is that it's arbitrary. And that means that there's no specific reason why the sound of a word means what it means. So I could, for example, make you a list of the words for fish in the languages of the world. So, Guoguo, do you know how to say the word fish in Chinese? How about in Spanish? Okay, hang on. I'm going to see if I can get her to help me. Okay, sorry. Gwogo says no, she's not going to help. So here's the list of things I can think of from my hammock. And I'm doing this from my hammock because A, I'm in my hammock, and B, I don't want to give you a big academic list, and I think I'll be more random if I don't go look things up. So the word for fish, one of the words for fish in Japanese is sakana. In Chinese, it's yu. In Spanish, it's pez. In what else have I got here? In Hindi, in my head, in Hindi, it's machli. In Turkish, it's balık. That's right. And Gogo says in English, it's fish. In Mingo, which is a Native American language once widely spoken in Ohio and West Virginia, Mingo now has fewer than five, perhaps only one person who speaks it still. You'll hear more about this later. In Mingo, the word for fish is genzon. So
Angel.
you get the idea that there's a variety of possible pronunciations of this word, a variety of possible things that mean fish. So guess it's a mean fish. I know. So the point of that is this. If you are a monolingual speaker of a language, you might sort of develop the sense that there's a reason why words are called what they're called, that there's something about the sound, if you're an English speaker, of fsh, or fish, that really is a good match for the word fish. And maybe fish is a reasonably good match for the creature fish, but so apparently is muchli and bullock and ewe and poisson in French and pes in Spanish and genzon and all those kinds of things. They're also reasonably good words for fish since people have been using those words for fish for thousands and thousands and thousands of years, or at least derivatives of them for thousands of years. So there's no reason why this a particular sound means a particular thing.
Yeah.
Thank you, Guo. So it's all very well for me to say that to you, and it's all very well for you to read it in a book. But what I'm going to ask you to do for your first assignment is go and discover this for yourselves. So you will find on Blackboard, okay, don't leave. I'm going to stay in my hammock while I do this. You will find on Blackboard a list of your names, and after each of your names, I'm going to look at how many of you there are. I think there are 15 of you. Mercy, there are 15 of you. After your names, I'm going to list three languages, and your job is to go look up the words that I give you in your language, and you'll see the assignment itself is also up on Blackboard, so I don't need to go over it here. But the few things that I have to say about the assignment are this. Search until you're done searching. Don't make yourself crazy. Not everything is findable, okay? Have some kind of realistic and self-preservation, if that's an adjective, sense of when you should stop. Because some of the words in some of these languages simply are not locatable on the web or locatable in library books in the time that you have. So I'm not telling you to be careless and just go, ah, blah, I don't know. What I'm telling you to do is look for a sensible, grown-up, determined amount of time and then stop. Okay. The other thing that I'm going to remind you about is that in linguistics, we're interested in how words sound and in how words are written. But those are two very different spheres of investigation and areas of knowledge. So I'm interested in how the word is pronounced. If you find a representation of your word in the Roman alphabet, in the alphabet that we use to write English, that's good enough. You can use that. But if you're given, for example, the word in Russian, which somebody will get, I don't know who, you should not just take those Cyrillic characters, try to paste them into an email message and send them to me and say, "Hark, teacher, I have found the word fish in Russian," because you haven't. You found the characters that are used to write the word, but you have no idea how that's pronounced. So I'm going to ask you to find out how to pronounce the words, not just how to write them. Those are often very different things. Okay, so here are your tasks that I lay before you for this wonderful in Bowling Green, lovely and sunny Monday. There are a couple of them. First, please send an email to everyone in the class introducing yourself. The easiest way to do that is to reply to the email that you will have received by now from me that goes to everybody. This gives you everybody's email addresses. So just hit reply to all and say and write, howdy there, my name is
Something, something.
something something, and I am at my house. I will mostly be at my house, and my house is wherever your house is. And just give us a
Bowling
sense,
Green, Ohio.
Bowling Green, Ohio, right? Give us a sense of who you are and what your background is. I also very much need to know what languages you speak. So that will help me in
Chinese?
constructing language examples. That's right. If you speak Chinese, you should say so. Okay, so that's the first thing I would like you to do. If you're techie, if you're a tech savvy kind of person, please feel free to post an MP3. And if
Three,
you
one, two,
want to
three.
do that and you don't know how, I will put you in the hands of the Lord High Chancellor, Dan Fawcett, who is my research assistant and your fellow student in this class, and perhaps he can help you sort of work out how to do that. I would be delighted if many of you started posting MP3s as well. I think that might be really fun. So if you decide to post an MP3, please send an email to everybody saying, my introduction, all about myself is in an MP3 and it's posted online on Blackboard. Or alternatively, which I think would be even better, you could just attach the MP3 to the email that you send. And now that I'm thinking about that option, that might be something I do as well. Though maybe I'm not, because I want to know if you guys all have fast internet. If some of you are using dial-up, I don't want to clog your inboxes with great big old giant sound files, because sound files can be really big. So introduce yourselves, please, my people, so that we can all get to know you. Look at the introductory documents. The syllabus is up there online at this point. I was about to tell you to listen to this found file. Listen to this sound file. That's dumb, but to say in this context, but I just did it. Hopefully you're doing that right now. Ooh, weird. Asynchronous stuff is kind of wacky, right? And then start having a look at your first homework assignment and your first readings. First homework assignment will make due on Wednesday because you have to have time to get it done after I post it. So this is the point in the class where I try to look at you in some kind of engaging way and say, so my people, do you have any questions? Hearing none. Hearing none, I'll call a class break and you can all go get cookies or something or something. So, thank you for listening and welcome again to the class. If you have questions, please let me know. Please don't be shy.
Yeah, and I'm not shy either.
That's right. And thanks for your patience with my recording techniques. If you like these, I'll do more. If you don't like them, I'll probably just give up in despair after a
You just
while.
said that.
I just said that, okay. And maybe I'll do this without my little 6-year-old editor helping me next time. I don't know. All right, take care, everyone. Be good to each other. Have a good night, and we'll be in touch.